We're going to go back to Leviticus chapter 13, the chapter about leprosy. And I've already warned you, I believe that the leprosy is not Hansen's disease. I don't believe it's a disease at all. I believe in my studies that the Bible indicates that the mark of leprosy is a mark placed by God on a person, place, or thing that needs evaluation. Now, that mark could be confused by a layperson or even a fairly skilled person with the effects of other things. And so here we are in the book of Leviticus, the rule book for Levites, a tech manual, reading through what the priests have to know about evaluating whether someone's been marked by God or if it's something else. And so here is the pickup point. Verse 29 says, when a man or a woman has an effect, remember, I don't believe the word disease is an appropriate translation here, on the head or on the beard. So in the hair area, on the top of your head, the sides of your head, the back of your head, or for the gentleman, in the beard area. So they have something going on inside the hair. Then the priest shall examine the effect. If it appears deeper than the skin, which is a big-time distinguishing characteristic of the leprosy mark, it goes deeper than skin level. And the hair in it is yellow and thin, and the priest shall then pronounce them unclean or off-limits. It is an itch. There's something going on there, obviously. A leprous mark on the head or on the beard. If the priest examines this area and it appears no deeper than the skin and there's no black hair in it, then the priest shall shut that person up with the problem for 7 days. And remember, that's always the first evaluation period, 7 days. On the seventh day, the priest shall examine the effect. If the itch has not spread, so the area is not getting any bigger, and there is no yellow hair, and it appears to be no deeper than the skin, then the person, male or female, understand, is going to shave himself. However, the affected area of the itch, he's not going to shave that. So basically, male or female, going to shave off all the non-affected hair so that there's no doubt which evaluation area you're looking at. The priest shall then shut the person up with this itching situation for another 7 days, second evaluation period. Remember, I told you that the symbolism of leprosy is used in the church discipline standards of the New Testament. If you see something wrong in somebody, you go to them privately, tell them about it. Then you wait for a bit. Then you go back with somebody else if nothing's changed, and you tell them about it. And then you wait. And then if nothing's taking place, if there's no repentance, if it's not getting fixed, that's when the issue has to be brought before the family. You have a family intervention, a private family intervention for the church. And if the person won't repent even under that sort of intervention, then they're basically removed from the family, at least as long as it takes for them to repent. And so that is the perfect parallel here. Verse number 34, if on the seventh day the priest shall examine the itch, so it'd be the 14th day if it's a 2-week period, and if the itch is not spread in the skin, it doesn't appear to be any deeper in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him or her clean. He shall wash his clothes and be clean. And so we have to do a ceremony for the Jewish people here to be let back into the community of believers. Verse 35, but if it spreads in the skin after his cleansing, so he actually goes through the ceremony and then it's back again, well, the priest is going to examine him again, and if it spreads, the priest doesn't even have to look for the secondary indicator, the yellow hair. Automatically, the guy, the woman, unclean. If in the eyes, his eyes, the itch is unchanged and the black hair has grown in it, the itch is healed and he's now clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. And he or she can throw all that hair back and be right back into society again. Verse 38, another example. When a man or a woman has spots on the skin of his body, white spots, the priest shall look, and if the spots on the skin of the body are of a dull white, so apparently the leprosy kind of has a more bright look to it, much more pronounced, which actually comes out in the Greek language, I think, for the word for leprosy. I think it's brightness. And so if it's dull white, well, it's just leucodermia, which is just a fancy Greek term for white skin marks that have broken out on the skin. He is clean. And actually, that sounds an awful lot like my chickenpox scars after I finished having chickenpox as a kid. Verse number 40, if a man's hair falls out from his head, he's just bald. He is clean, okay? There's not a mark of leprosy if you go bald. I'm laughing because I'm bald. If a man's hair falls out from his forehead, which that tends to be where my baldness is at, he has baldness of the forehead. He's clean. But if there is on that bald head or the bald forehead a reddish white marked area, affected area. So now we're getting back to the symptoms again. Something that looks like a wasp sting, if you will. Something that is translucent skin, then that's this problem, this mark of leprosy breaking out on his bald head or on his bald forehead. So the priest is going to examine him. If the disease swelling is reddish white on his bald head or on his bald forehead, like the appearance of this mark of leprosy in the skin of his body, then he is a leprous man. He is unclean. He's off limits. And the priest must pronounce him unclean. His affectation is on his head. See, now that's another reason why you should understand this is not a disease. Diseases are not your fault. They are part of the overarching curse that came from Adam and Eve rejecting God's guidance for this perfect world. And so it's not your fault if you get a disease. But if you get a mark of leprosy, it is your fault. Because apparently you're doing something that you're not supposed to be doing, and God's trying to get your attention. Verse 45. The affected person who has this affectation shall wear torn clothes. Now, this is the responsibility given by law to a person who has been declared leprous. So they've gone through evaluation process and nothing's changed. They have now been booted out of society until something does change. And so this is the situation of all the lepers we see in the Bible, including the ones in the New Testament that we run across coming to Jesus. The leprous person, the affected person, has to wear torn clothes. Now, why torn clothes? Because they should be grieving over their situation. Remember that the Jewish people, many of the people of the Middle East, rip clothing to show their sorrow, to show their sadness over a situation. So they're supposed to wear these clothes of sorrow. They're supposed to let the hair of his head hang loose. So he's not wearing a hat. He's not wearing a hat band or a headband or anything like that. Just has to be loose. And then this confuses some people. He shall cover his mustache and cry out, unclean, unclean. Now, this is where I often wish that we had a video presentation of this. But basically, take your hand and make a semicircle with your thumb and your index finger, and let all your other fingers follow the arching of your index finger. And then take that and cover your upper lip area. You've just made a megaphone. To really go for it, take the other hand and just extend it. That's the point, is that he is supposed to broadcast loudly to anyone that comes toward him, unclean, unclean, I'm off limits, I'm off limits, so that they don't accidentally come into contact with him or her, and end up not catching something, because you can't catch sin. You can't catch leprosy, not true Bible leprosy. This is to keep them from becoming ceremonially unclean by coming into his orbit. Now, verse 46, he shall remain unclean or off limits as long as he has the affectation. As long as whatever it is that's marked him is still going on, he cannot come back into society. And so that is why when Jesus heals, or more properly, cleanses someone of leprosy in his ministry, apparently it's connected with that person repenting and seeking forgiveness through Jesus. And then Jesus cleanses him of the leprosy, and immediately, so Jesus tells them, now you need to go and go through the procedures with the priests. So anyway, as long as he has this affectation, verse 46 says, he's unclean, he shall live alone. Now, what'll happen is lepers will hang out with one another, because a leper can't make another leper any more unclean. So they'll usually kind of congregate to support one another. And that's why we've got like 10 lepers hanging out that Jesus connects with. But he can't be with other unaffected people. He has to leave all that behind. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Now, this is one of the reasons we went to Leviticus at this point in our study, is because we were about to have God tell Moses which people had to live outside the boundaries of the camp of Israel. The camp is very clearly defined with the different tribes in different camping areas around the tabernacle at the center. And so there is a border out there where the official camp of Israel ends and the area outside the camp begins. And so all the unclean people have to go and live outside the encampment. When we get past the wilderness experience, basically the people who get the mark of leprosy have to stay outside the boundaries of cities and villages. They can hang out alongside the road as long as they don't get too close to the road. Because until they get things worked out with God, they are not part of normal society. It's just not allowed. So, verse 47 now shifts from people to things. And I always remind people when we go through these teachings here, leprosy is a mark placed by God on a person, place, or thing that needs to be evaluated. Now, when we've read through New American Standard, they start substituting the word mildew for the word leprosy at this point, because they know that it doesn't make sense for clothing to have a disease. Well, apparently the English Standard guys didn't get that memo, because verse 47, the way that it appears in the English Standard Version is, when there is a case of leprous disease in a garment. All right, and so again, and I'm laughing here because sometimes translators just, I'm shocked that they don't put a little bit more effort into thinking these things through. But anyway, I'm going to replace the words of the English Standard Version with the ones that I think are more appropriate. When there is the case of a mark in a garment, whether it's a woolen garment or a linen garment. And for those of you that might not know, you know, some we have younger people that are not as up to this stuff. Woolen garments come from sheep, so it's animal fiber. Linen garments come from plants, so it's plant fiber. And there is a distinction made between the two for Jewish people. They cannot mix and match fibers. And so we have to make it very clear here. It doesn't matter which source the garment comes from, animal or plant product. If it has this mark, this is what you got to do. Verse 48, in the warp or the woof of a linen or wool, warp and woof is the two different directions for weaving, or in a skin, that's like as in leather, or in anything made of skin. If the mark is greenish or reddish in the garment, or in the skin, or in the warp or the woof, or in any article made of skin, it is a case of the mark of leprosy, and it shall be shown to the priest. So you find this, and you take it to the priest to be evaluated. Now, this is probably a good place to mention this. One of the reasons all this is so important about the places and the things is because the Israelis are going to move into homes that are already built, and they're going to pick up items that have been left behind by the retreating Canaanites who are chased out of the country by the efforts of the Holy Spirit. That was the original idea. So they're going to pick up an awful lot of stuff that has belonged to very sinful people. And maybe some of these things the Israelis shouldn't have. Maybe some of these things are cultic things. They were used for the worship of gods and goddesses that were not appropriate. Maybe some of them have been infused with disease because of the activities of the Canaanites. But this is what they were supposed to do if God marked it or seems to have marked a piece of clothing. So this is the priest's responsibility. The priest shall examine the effect and shut it up, that it whatever it is that has this effect, for 7 days. So here we have the evaluation period. Same again. He shall examine the effect on the seventh day. If the effect has spread in the garment, so it's farther and farther, in the warp or the woof, or in the skin, whatever be the use of the skin, then the effect is a persistent leprous disease or leprous effect, a mark of leprosy. So it is unclean. It is off limits. God doesn't want you to have it. That's effectively what we're learning from the passage. What are you supposed to do with it? Well, if God doesn't want you to have it, more than likely he doesn't want anybody to have it. So verse 52, he shall burn the garment. And it's the priest that apparently is doing the burning here. He doesn't give it back to the person to take care of. He shall burn the garment, warp, woof, wool, linen, any article made of skin that is marked, for it is a persistent mark of leprosy. It shall be burned with fire. So it is done. It is out of there. Verse 53. If the priest examines, and then the effect has not spread in the garment, in the warp of the woof, or any article made of skin, then the priest shall command that they should just wash the thing in which this mark has appeared, and then he's going to shut it up for another 7 days. So maybe it's, you know, some sort of stain. Maybe it's some sort of dirt. So give it a good scrubbing. Give it a good washing. And then we'll wait another 7 days. Verse 55. The priest shall examine the marked thing after it's been washed, or the affected thing after it's been washed. If the appearance of this marked item or area has not changed, although the mark, the effect has not spread, so it's still there, but it hasn't got any bigger, well, it's still counted as unclean. You're going to burn it in the fire, whether the rot is on the back or on the front. Because, you know, it might be a thick material and only be on one side. Verse 56, if the priest examines, and if the marked or the affected area has faded after it's been washed, so maybe it was a bit of a stain, and now the stain is lighter because of washing. He shall tear it out of the garment or the skin or the warp and the woof. And then apparently you put something different in there, put a different patch. If it appears again in this garment, in the warp of the woof or in any article made of skin, it's spreading. You're going to burn it with fire, whatever has this affectation, this mark. However, if the garment or the warp of the woof or any article made of the skin from which this mark or this effect departs when you've washed it, it shall be washed a second time, and then it'll be counted as clean. So maybe it was just a stain. Maybe you'll get it out even more next time around. Verse 59, this is the law. This is the regulation for the case of the mark of leprosy in garment or wool or linen, either in the warp or the woof, or in any article made of skin to determine whether it is clean or unclean. So that's how you evaluate people and things. We'll get to places in a little bit. Chapter 14 has the ceremony of cleansing, which Jesus made reference to when he cleansed some lepers. He said, go and give what is required as a testimony to your cleansing. And so here is the passage of what those people had to do. Chapter 14, he who is spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leprous person for the day of his cleansing. So whatever it was that had God's mark on the person is now gone. He shall be brought to the priest. The priest shall go out of the camp, because remember, the leprous person is outside the camp already. The priest shall look. Then if the case of this leprous mark is healed or fixed in this person with leprosy, the priest shall command them to take for him who is to be made cleansed two live clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop. And the priest shall command them to kill one of the birds in an earthenware vessel over fresh water. File that away in your head. I want to talk about that later. He shall take the live bird with the cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop and dip them and the live bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. So one bird is for a sacrifice. The other bird gets dipped in the blood of that sacrifice. He shall then sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed of the mark of leprosy, and he will pronounce him clean and shall let the living bird go into the open field. Now that is also something I want you to file away. Very important. One animal is used for the sacrifice. The other animal represents freedom from the mark, freedom from the sin. And the bird gets to fly away. Like I said, we'll come back to that later. And then he who has been cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, bathe himself in water, and he shall be clean. And then after that, he may come into the camp, but live outside his tent 7 days. So kind of a gradual coming back into society. And then on the seventh day, he shall shave off all his hair from his head, his beard, his eyebrows. He's going to shave off all his hair. Then he's going to wash his clothes, bathe his body in water, and he shall be clean. And then the eighth day, he's going to offer a special sacrifice. In the last minute and a half, I want to mention that there was an anti-Semitic trope that grew up over the centuries. And it became very prominent after the time of Augustus and Tiberius Caesar as anti-Semitism in the Roman Empire got worse and worse. And this trope was that the Jewish people escaped from Egypt. No, they didn't escape from Egypt. They were expelled from Egypt by the Egyptians because they all had leprosy. They were all horribly affected people, and the Egyptians wanted them out of there. And so that becomes part of the story of the war between the Greeks the Gentile people and the Jews, which explodes into that final war where the temple is destroyed. Because some bad Gentile took a couple of birds, put them dead on the top of an earthenware pot that usually holds water in an alleyway to stop Jewish people from getting to their synagogue. And by that action, the Gentile was basically accusing them all of being lepers.